Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing, world peace, and having food distributed to all on our planet. Notice your thoughts. Bring your thought to right now, letting go of the past or any future planning for right now. And at this time, place your attention at the bottom of your spinal pathway, right where you're sitting, and envision a spinning silver disc of light there, silver white light. And envision it spinning up your spinal pathway. Up. Up. Even past the neck, all the way to the top of the head. Now placing our attention at the point between our eyebrows. This is a very powerful energy center, the third eye center. Noticing your breathing one more time. And know that as I speak this meditation, I speak these words for you and for me, and I am using the I person. There truly is one presence, one power in the universe. One. It has many expressions. There is one presence, one power, and it is the fullness of divine energy, creativity, wisdom and intelligence. It is unconditional love. Being everywhere present, there is not one spot where it is not. It is omnipresence itself. I am immersed in it. It is my very life. Therefore, it not only is around me, but in me. And not only in me, but as me, through me, because it is my very life. Right here and now, at this point in time in my life, I announce that life is announcing itself as me. I now announce myself. I now announce myself, for I know who I really am. I am. I am a valuable, essential part of the wholeness of the infinite creator and the creation. I am more than my finite conscious mind can conceive or believe, I am more than that. I am infinite presence and power emerging at a single point of expression. I take back the power that I have given to anything, to anybody, to any belief other than God. I am whole and complete within myself. I simply let my consciousness outpicture as vibrant health, right employment, abundant supply, being in perfect place, and loving and supportive relationships. Daily, my consciousness expands to outpicture as my greater self-realization and self-actualization. I trust myself, the higher self that I am. I bless the moment, and I expect the best. And I am thankful for all these conscious realizations this morning. I'm thankful for each person gathered here in our extended family, wherever they are and whatever they are doing. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. And most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. My topic this morning is being a metaphysician. Being a metaphysician. And I do not want this big marmalade word to get in the way of anybody truly being with the topic. If you want to just remember a very simple way of looking at metaphysics, is that metaphysics, meta being like higher than, physics being having to do with the backdrop of physical. So it's beyond the physical. Beyond the physical. If we were to look at different definitions, this is what some of the dictionaries would say about metaphysics. The science of the principle and causes of all things existing. The philosophy of mind as distinguished from that of matter. Another one said, the branch of philosophy which treats as first principle, including, and then it uses more marmalade words, what I call marmalade words. Whenever I come into a book, get into a book and I look at a word and I think, I don't know that word. I call it a marmalade word. I circle it and I look it up in the dictionary. The branch of philosophy which treats of first principle, including ontology. What's ontology? That's the science of being. Cosmology, the origin of the structure of the universe. And it is intimately connected with the theory of knowledge, and the theory of knowledge is called epistemology.
So if you've ever heard those words, you have a little bit of an idea of the distinctions, ontology, cosmology, epistemology. That's about as deep as I'm going to get with those words this morning. But if we can understand that when we live knowing these laws and principles, and we can understand them, that we're more than physical beings. At the center here, we say we're spiritual beings going through a human experience. And if we can live out of that conscious remembering, we are a metaphysician at that point, whether or not that's our handle or our job or whatever. Have you ever thought of yourself as a metaphysician? My purpose this morning is threefold. So much of what we usually react to or respond to is what we think is there. And we don't really see what is really there or all of what is really there. The second point is, because this is such a big subject, I wanted to just share a little bit about what Paramahansa Yogananda, who I believe was a great metaphysician, and his consciousness was certainly about metaphysics, some ways of very practically applying metaphysics in our life. And you have those little points in your little card that I've inserted for your desk. And they're very simply stated. But when we look at those three points, which we'll get into, it's very easy to realize then if we're actually doing that, coming from that consciousness, we're being grounded in understanding that we're more than a physical being, and we're living out of that consciousness. So we're being a metaphysician as we be with those three points on the card, which are trust yourself, bless the moment, and expect the best. And then the third point is that it's been stated, I think it's Deepak Chopra, and I'm paraphrasing how he said it, but it was like this: all fear that we as human beings experience is rooted in, I'll say it like that, rooted in thoughts of mortality. And of course, when we are thinking that we're mortal beings only, then we fear death. So all of the other fears kind of stem out of or spring out of that main fear. And my question is, what would our world be like? And I won't say if. I want to stroke that word out here in this sentence. What would our world be like when we reach a critical mass of people that are of the consciousness, the conscious realization, and living out of the remembrance and the knowing that we're more than a physical being? Wow. That's pretty powerful just to think of that. Now, for the sake of the people that will be listening to this tape, before I began the topic, I handed out, or everybody in the audience here today has a little insert from the Holographic Universe book written by Michael Talbot. And on it, on one side, was a grid, just a plain grid, with a circle in the middle, a dark circle in the middle. And then on the right of the paper was a blank space, and in the middle of that blank space was a star. And the exercise was to close the left eye first and look with the right eye, cross over to the left side of the paper, looking at the circle. And then bringing the paper from arm's length up closer to your eye or face. And at some point, it varies depending on your eyes and you personally, at some point, the star on the right disappears from our view. It's like the paper's blank on the right side of the paper. And then shifting again to closing the other eye and looking with your left eye, crossing over, looking at the star, and again bringing the paper close by. And at that point, what happens is the circle that is in the middle of the grid disappears. And what's so very interesting is that this is because our brain is filling in what we think should be there. What we think should be there. Sometimes people, I know Norman used to just grow a mustache once a year and then shave it off, you know, a couple months later. And then I'd say to him, gee, you shaved your mustache off. And he'd always laugh at me. And I'd say, why are you laughing? And he'd say, well, I shaved it off 2-3 days ago and you didn't notice. It's not that I don't look at him, but this is what exactly was happening. I'm just so used to, and my eyes were kind of filling in what wasn't there. And then all of a sudden, it like presented itself to me enough times without the mustache, I got it. Got no mustache. And I think we've all had that kind of sense. Have you ever noticed in your life where you come up to a sign and it's misspelled? And you may not notice it at first. And then all of a sudden, what? And in the book, The Holographic Universe, it gives the example of it's a no parking sign. And somebody went by that sign all the time, read it, no parking, no parking. And a friend said, that sign is misspelled. And the person looks, parking was spelled P-A-R-K-E-N-G. And they never noticed it. Why? Because they knew what parking looked like, the spelling parking looked like, and their unconscious filled it in for them. That's very interesting. Boy, I'll tell you, we could go home with that one and mull that one over for a couple of months. Ever notice that right now it's newsletter time at the center, and sometimes if we don't have somebody other than Faith who works with me at the office and myself to proofread the newsletter, chances are what? There's more mistakes in it than why? Because we created it. We know what we mean. We know what we want on there. But if there's a typo or if there's a different date or whatever that shouldn't be on there, we'll read it and say, yeah, that's fine, it's fine. And sometimes, you know, I'll say, how did it get by both of us? Because our subconscious mind is filling in what we think should be there. Now, I want to share with you just a little bit about what Michael Talbot says in his book, The Holographic Universe. He says, the mind, and relative to this, the mind is so accustomed to seeing spelling correctly that our unconscious edits out what was there and made us see what we expected to be there. Isn't that interesting? Can we think of the ramifications of that? Somebody's a certain way with you all the time, and then all of a sudden they're going to maybe have a change and shift of consciousness and be a new way, and like we expect them to be a certain way. Okay, back to the holographic universe. Visual information entering the brain is edited and modified by our temporal lobes before it is passed on to our visual cortices. Isn't that interesting? Now, this is a profound statement. 50% of what we see is based on the actual information entering our system. 50%. What happened to the other 50%? I'll tell you what happened to it. It's passed. It is. It comes out of our expectation. It's pieced together out of our expectation of what we think it should look like. Ooh. We are so used to responding to, and the book says responding to, but I want to fill in, we are so used to so many times reacting to, responding is more conscious thing. Reacting is just, you know, reacting like an animal. We're so used to responding or reacting to what it is we think is there, we don't always see what is really there. Now, this is called, with this little exercise, it's called the blind spot in the middle of the retina where the optic nerve is connected to the eye where there are no photoreceptors there. And the brain artfully fills in the gaps so masterfully we aren't even aware that it is doing so. So it's not like maybe you have that blind spot and I don't. No, we all have it. That blind spot in the physical structure of our eye is where that nerve joins the retina, and we all have that blind spot. And our mind artfully fills in. So reality, this is a quotation, reality at large is really a frequency domain. Deepak Chopra talks a lot about frequencies. Really a frequency domain, and our brain is a kind of lens that converts these frequencies into the objective world of appearance. Now I want to ask you, what does a spider web look like to you? What does it look like to you when you, if you describe a spider web? Usually, wouldn't you say it would maybe looks drab or white to us? That's to us. That's a good, you know, that's important. To us, it looks like that. Did you know that for ultra-sensitive eyes of insects, a spider web is brightly colored and alluring? So the question is, what is there? Is it white and drab, or is it brightly colored and alluring? Now, I could go off on another whole area here, you know. Is it right? Is it wrong? Who's right? Who's wrong? It's both and neither. And at a higher level, it just is. But what makes the distinction whether or not it is colorfully alluring or white and drab is the consciousness of the beholder and the type of eye it's filtering it through. Hey, boy, oh boy. I'm going to leave that for now. I said earlier that I think one of the greatest metaphysicians that lived was Paramahansa Yogananda, although they might not have called him a metaphysician. What's so interesting about him, when I read his book years ago, his book, The Autobiography of a Yogi, changed my life forever. It just had me look in different ways, and when I read certain things, I was reading what I knew, but I never voiced that I knew that. So what was interesting about this man was when he made his transition, and he made a conscious transition right after he was speaking to an audience, and he demonstrated that he was a great metaphysician both in his life and in the death of his body. Because weeks after, his body shone with incorruptibility. Weeks after, not hours or days. The mortuary director sent a notarized letter that there was the absence of visual signs of decay and the most extraordinary case in their existence. that this is an unparalleled case, says the mortuary annals, because there was no physical disintegration even after 20 days. Now, why am I saying that? What does this have to do with being a metaphysician? Do you agree that there was some sort of a elevated consciousness that this man lived in and expressed? Now, you could study his works, and you could study about his life, and we could take lots of little examples and like that. But one of the things that he said and invited people, people that have studied and worked with him, began the Self-Realization Fellowship, which is worldwide. But one of the things that he said are just three things. He said far more than three things, but for today, as far as us, how can we take what we're learning about being a spiritual being going through a human experience, that we're far more than a physical body, that we're consciousness, that we're an expression of the infinite presence and power, that is who we really are. How can we live that in a very, very practical way? Practical. You know, some of the things that we talk about at the center, I mean, it doesn't do you too much good just to sit here and think, wow, that was great. Yeah, you know, and that's it. It's like taking it and, so does this make a difference to me? Can this actually empower me in my everyday life? So three things that you have on your little card, and that is trust yourself, bless the moment, and expect the best. So when we say trust yourself, it's not the little self, the thing that we think is the ego and the body and the like that. It's trust the self, the large S-E-L-F, the higher self that you are, the spiritual being that you are. At Love at the Core, which many of you have taken and many of you have started to come this last year to the center, are looking forward to enrolling in it in September, you'll hear me say, and those of you who have taken it, you know how much I say when we're, because it's very experiential, and when I introduce an exercise, I will say, trust the process. Trust the process. You remember me saying that over and over again. And I will say that. Trust the, what am I saying? Is it the process really? Or is it really, Love at the Core is really about getting, like getting, that who we are is the essence of Love at the Core. Moving through barriers to fully expressing that and expressing more of that out into life in a greater, higher degree than we ever have before. No matter what level of expression you're at right now. So it's like trust the process. The process is getting in touch that who you are is love. And if you allow, just follow the instruction of the exercise and do the exercise, you have the experience that who you are is love. And that's why it's such a profound course. It's absolutely incredible. So trust ourselves. Now bless the moment. You know, many times around Thanksgiving and we talk about gratefulness, we think about Jesus the Christ and the Christ consciousness. He always, stories about him kind of going up in consciousness or going to the mountain. But what that really meant was going higher in consciousness. And he would always say thank you. He would bless. He would say thank you before the demonstration. Now, bless the moment. It's real easy to bless the moment when our life is going along chickity-boo and, you know, we're happy, healthy. You know, it's like, are we willing to bless the moment when we're not in that place? Are we willing to bless the moment? Then, as a metaphysician, being grounded in knowing who we are, you know, in prosperity seminars, I tell the story about Edwin Gaines, who has the master school of prosperity, and she's taught many prosperity teachers worldwide, and she has a commitment to raising consciousness for prosperity on the planet. And in the middle of this, in the middle of her workshop, she says, I'm going to tell you the most profound and most important metaphysical principle of prosperity. Are you ready? People, you know, for sure get out their little tablets and their writing paper and they're going to, it's very short and simple. Are you ready? Everybody's ready. Now, I'm going to say it exactly the way she says it. Some of you may be offended. Don't bitch. What? This is a unity minister saying that. She says, we must stop complaining. That is the most powerful metaphysical principle of prosperity. Wow. So I would say there's twofold things about bless the moment. Stop complaining and realize that under the complaint that you wanted to voice or did voice, there is a unspoken request that perhaps you aren't even consciously aware of yourself, let alone are courageous enough to speak it to the person or the situation or the organization that you are complaining about. So the moment we stop that, two things can't occupy the same space at the same time, right? We cannot be in that other word, complaining, and blessing the moment at exactly the same time. We cannot. So it's like, okay, we have choice. Choose, soul. Which do you choose? Which path? That's the distinction between living in heaven or living in hell. And if you're new to the center, we do not believe that they are places you go to after you die. Because we know that life is a continuous stream, and death is not the opposite to life. The opposite to death is birth. So there's birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. But there's life. And we can choose how we live our life, what we're creating. And we can create our own heaven and hell experience right here and right now. We don't have to make our transition. And then, of course, expect the best. What do we expect? Like, how are we with our significant others? How are we with our loved ones? How are we with people we don't love? People that we're not in touch with. At the intrinsic level, we're all one. And there is love there underneath it if we dig deep enough. But what do we expect of them? Do we expect the best? Do we expect a grand day? Or do we sit back and say, well, I wonder what's going to happen today? You know? It's like, what do we expect of our children? I was thinking of a friend that Norman and I have who lives in Calgary, and my perception of her is that she is always rescuing her children. Now, her children now are close to 40 years old. And sometimes she would phone me for some support and some coaching, and I got tired of it. I finally said to her, I don't want you to think that in my statement right now I'm being insensitive, but I want you to look deeper. What would he do, whatever child she was trying to rescue right then, what would he do if you died today? He would manage. And
And he'd probably create some support. It's like holding people able. That's called, you know, expecting the best. Expecting the best. And we could, I could spend every topic on each one of these. What do we expect of our health? What do we expect of our world? What do we expect of our government? You know, I have a real thing about the way Canada speaks about our government situation. I really don't like that our other party is called the opposition. What kind of consciousness does that set up? It does not set up a vision. It does not set up with, okay, so here's the vision for Canada. I'm going to get on the bandwagon and go for it also. No, I'm going to oppose. You never hear the United States calling the two different parties the opposition. What if we set up here that way? It's not expecting the best. That's another whole topic. Just winding down here, I want to quickly just tell you something that Jean Houston, who wrote The Possible Human and The Jump Time, which we'll be ordering a book order this next week, and that's her new book, Jump Time. She says it like this, and I think she's quoting from Oliver Wendell Holmes. She says, think of 10 impossible thoughts before breakfast. What? She's talking about using calisthenics to exercise our brain. I think it would be a stretch for some of us to even think of one thing that would be, that we would, our conscious, finite mind, the mind that goes, nim, 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 you can't do that, you can't do that, we're going to do what? That we would hold like that, impossible. But, you know, do it as an experiment. I won't say try. It's like, do it as an experiment. You know, set aside one morning where you're going to think of 10 impossible things before breakfast. And like stretch the mind. And then, of course, the last point that I wanted to make is, like, what would our world be like when we remember who we are? When we let go of the fear of mortality, that when we die, that's it. That's the end of our body, and we're probably going to go someplace if we haven't been a good person. Wow. But you know, I was thinking about the distinctions in religion. You know, there's theism, where people believe that God, the Creator, infinite presence and power, is separate and distinct from us. And many times they think it's a man, and it's anthropomorphic, but it's separate from us. That's theism. Then there's pantheism. Pantheism believes that that presence and power is inside everything. Then there's panentheism. I know those are big marmalade words. I began and end with marmalade words today. Panentheism. Panentheism is what New Thought is about. Panentheism makes the statement that there is one universal life force consciousness, infinite presence and power. Doesn't matter what you call it. You can use scientific terms or theological terms, but it is one. It truly is everywhere. There's no place where we can be outside of it. So just like I say in the meditation every single Sunday I say this at the beginning of the meditation, that it is not only around us, it's in us, through us, and expresses as us. And the other day I was watching a little clip, I can't even remember what it was on television, what program it was, but they were interviewing white supremacists. And I noticed I was getting nervous and frightened. That the wow. And then I just thought, you know, so, you know, expect the best. But like, what would our world be like when we get it? When we get it. That we're all one. That there is no better or worse or more, one more supreme than another. And that, you know, it's like, it's the reflection of the consciousness out there. So as you sit here in this room, whether it's one Sunday a month or every Sunday or one Sunday in 6 months, a lot of people are away on holidays right now. But what you keep continuing to get here is an environment that's conducive for you to remember and move outside the amnesia of that you're just, that you're more than a body. We are not just the body. And we are not separate. And the basic context of the center is to heal the sense of separation. Not to heal separation. That's wrong. Because there is no such thing. It's to heal the sense of separation. It's what people think. So we really need to be, I'll say it like this, programmed more and more to really know that who we are is a spiritual being and that we all are one. And then even sometimes when we're looking at something and it's only 50% coming in, 50% is coming in from what is really the thing, the other 50% of our interpretation will be wholeness, oneness, universal consciousness, not separation. Not separation. And it shows up in many ways, but I just use the example of the white supremacist. Shows up in many ways. You know, I think of those people that were submerged in the submarine this last week. And I just, to think that the country waited so long to get help. And out of that is like a consciousness of separation and pride. Instead of the power of love, the love of power. So I want to thank each and every one of you for being here, for placing yourself into this environment, for truly listening, for really getting at who we are metaphysicians. Each and every one of us are. I mean, if you weren't, you would come here once and say, this is not for me. Goodbye. And that's fine. That's fine. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Namaste. Thank you.